You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything.
921. Joining me, the Prince of All Marine Radio, Mike Musselman. What's up, Tex? What's going on?
What's going on, man?
Nothing. Nothing. Hung out with a battle buddy of ours, David J. Furness, yesterday for most of the day. Yeah, so awesome day. Had a good time.
Yeah, what did he have to say?
Oh, man, where do you want to start? Where do you want to start?
Is he excited?
Yeah, he's fired up. He's fired up. Major General Furness taking over the 2nd Marine Division. So, fun to talk. It's a culmination of a career, right, to have an opportunity that very few Marines get to have. And so, he takes over.
Did he say you bozos better not make a scene?
No. He has confidence. Okay. He has confidence that we know the appropriate places to make scenes because it's not like we're strangers.
We'll make fun of them in private.
Yeah, it's not like we're strangers to making scenes. So we're not novices. We're professionals. We're professional scene makers, so we know when it's appropriate. So, no, he didn't say anything. Just said he was looking forward to seeing people that were showing up, and so it would be a good time. So anyway.
Yeah,
so did that. So he's around today. Brought his kid all the way from Virginia. He's been gone for a year. So I think he asked each one of his kids, like, what could we do together that would be cool? And one of his kids said, go to Disneyland with a friend of mine out in California. So?
So cool. Done?
See, when you're a big-time general like that, right, and you've been away for a year, those are the kind of things you do. So anyway. So he came over and... Then he immediately said he had lost his wallet. And he said, we need to call the cops. I think somebody might have stolen out of my car in front of your house. And he'd been here for all of 30 minutes. We were going to lunch. I'm like,
so of course, then he just realized that he'd lost, forgot it, or misplaced it.
It's a street with a cul-de-sac at the end, okay? So it's not like there's any through traffic at 10:30 in the morning. So why don't we go out and look for it? Well, I did. Why don't we go look again? So I opened up the passenger side door.
And it falls
off. Yeah. No, it's under, I can see it under the seat. It's fallen off the seat and down in kind of the crevasse. So, I look across. I'm like, you know what? You're stupid. What are you going to do without people like me to keep your shit out of trouble? What? Here you go, bro. Bring it with you, because now you're buying lunch. So, and he did. So, anyway. So, it was good. It was good. So we found his wallet. We dodged that bullet. Driving a red rental car. When you go pick out colors, would you?
White.
White. Yeah. Why?
With the rental car? Because I don't want to stand out. I don't want people to notice.
You don't want to be that guy?
No.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy.
Bright red, like he was a 17-year-old girl driving her first car. I said, you can request.
My daughter's got her red.
You can request another color, just so you know. What?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Anyway. Just tell him red makes me go into seizures.
There you go. Hey, classic moment. Okay. So people know, most of us can't hear very well. Okay. And saying that, is an insult to everybody who can't hear well, okay? And to make it even better, none of us wears a hearing aid, okay? So when we go places and people speak to us, like Furness and I, we went to go have lunch at a place Rudy took me to last week. So
wonderful.
Oh yeah, no, it's good. Good
Beef.
Food. What's that?
Beets and and lemongrass and
the okay. So anyway, we're standing like 5 feet from the counter, and we're both looking at menus. You got to order at the kind of cash register, and then they bring it out to your table. So we're saying, and then the girl looks up at us and says, she points to the menu up above, and then she looks at us, and she says something, right? And we both look at her and nod, and Furness looks at me and says, what'd she say? I said, no idea. it's one of the hazards when you go someplace without, like, a family member, okay? Because normally you look at, you know, your wife or one of your kids and say, what'd she say? Do you want vanilla or do you want chocolate? Oh, vanilla.
Right.
She looked at us. We didn't have a clue. But we both smiled and nodded like, yeah, thanks. And so that's how it goes. Anyway, funny moment. Funny moment. So I did that yesterday and then came out and hung out at the house. And that's about it. That's about it.
Good.
So you're looking at Shooting Illustrated. What specifically, what article are you looking at right now?
I bought this new Taurus, came out with a 380 designed for came out designed especially for concealed carry.
What makes a good concealed carry gun?
It's small. It's got no, like, accessories that can, you know, no snag hazards. Not gonna snag on anything. It's thin. It's lightweight. It's kind of, to me, looking at the gun, I mean, it's ugly as sin. But, I mean, who really cares as long as it's functional? But it's one of those guns that I think it was designed, looking at everything on here and reading about it. And they looked at concealed carry as the driving factor, and they did a pretty good job. I mean, it's a good concealed carry gun. It's just, if you're into looks, it's not a very good-looking gun.
Hmm. Interesting.
And plus, it's a Taurus, so I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, it wasn't a good-looking car.
Yeah.
It was nothing. So, as a car, maybe, I wonder if they called it Taurus because nondescript.
Oh, no, Taurus has been around.
Oh, so they didn't call it that because of the car was nondescript and plain.
No.
Oh,
all right. No, Taurus. Taurus guns have been around for quite some time.
Okay. Did you see the video of the Las Vegas kind of pursuit and shooting through the front windshield, through the windshield of the car?
No.
Oh, man. No. Wait till you see this. Sheriff driving in pursuit. Guys he's pursuing shot 34 rounds at police officers. He, while he's in pursuit, comes up behind them, puts his pistol in his right hand, looks to be a Glock, and starts firing through his own windshield.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. And then he does a little thing that I do, thigh driving, and puts both hands on his weapon to stabilize it, and then cranks off more rounds through the windshield. And then he comes up on about 5 o'clock on the vehicle and then, shoots again. I think that time outside the window. And then the car kind of drives into a wall and then they get after it from there. Pretty amazing.
We're shot in Vegas?
Yeah. Pretty amazing body camera video though. What effect is the windshield going to have on the round?
Oh, what kind of effect?
Yeah. What happens to the round after it hits the windshield?
Well, I mean, auto glass is a pretty solid target media. It's gonna deform. It's gonna do everything you want it to do. But you know, the whole thing is the first two or three rounds, you make sure that you're shooting right through that same hole, so you're not creating new holes.
Oh no, he creates
once
new.
You create a.
He creates new
Once
holes.
You create a ballistic window, you know, and then now your rounds aren't disrupted by any of the target media. So,
Yeah, he's shooting. So all, he's shooting all
crank off three right away. Just scratch three rounds, but make sure they're nice and tight, so you're making that ballistic window, that hole for your fourth and fifth and your sixth round aren't obstructed by any kind of debris.
Yeah, he didn't. Well, he's not able to do that. He's driving while he's shooting, but it's pretty crazy video. In fact, that's the second video.
That would be. He should have used his AR would have been like that. There was a scene where a guy driving at night chasing some wanted felon or something like that. He brought his AR to bear and put it right through the windshield while he's driving and shooting this guy. Bam, 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 bam. I mean, that's a lot more effective than a pistol.
Tough to get your AR into the shooting position while you're driving, though, in pursuit.
Oh, that'd be easy, man.
You'd reach over and then slam it in the pre-placed little holder you have for it, and then just start letting
put it right on the dashboard, just on the right alongside the windmill or the steering wheel, and just shoot.
Right, you're watching.
It's gonna be loud. It's gonna be loud.
You're not hearing anybody saying anything to you at lunch after you do that. The body cam footage, now body cameras twice in the news in the last, 4 or 5 days. Once in Chicago, big dust up after police encounter a guy who they see has a gun. They tell him to stop. He supposedly reached for his gun. They shoot him. Chicago police very quickly release body camera video that shows a pistol and two magazines in his belt, to try to calm people down that they shot somebody that didn't warrant. Yeah, didn't warrant it. And then this video here is shit. It's crazy. I mean, they're driving at high rates of speed, going around a corner, and then he's shooting, their back window shot out from them shooting. It's like something out of a movie. I think those body cameras are money in terms of showing the public, like, hey, this is what we're dealing with, just so you know. Well, anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting. The, Las Vegas video. Let me ask you this. Did you watch the president's, news conference? Okay, so let me. Don't. It'll just make you mad. So you and I are on the White House staff. We're gonna go to Helsinki, and we're talking about it. All right. Okay. We're staff guys. Okay. Look, we got to be able to answer one question. It's a one question press conference. Okay. The question is, do you believe your intelligence, or Putin's gonna deny it? Or do you believe Putin? Okay? We have to have that answer down or we can't go. Okay? Because this is not screwable. You can't screw this up. Okay? So if we don't have this down, we're not going to Helsinki. So what's the answer to that? What is the answer that we're going to roll out for the world? Because it will be question number one at the press conference. And then
And they screwed it up.
Yeah. And so I guess, Mike, if it's us sitting around thinking about it, going, okay, so John Bolton, John Kelly, Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, staff people, you mean to tell me that they're not savvy enough to figure this out? I don't believe that for a second. They didn't brief the president on what needed to be said. I don't believe that for a second. I've read that, we went there because we want to bring troops home from Syria, and we want Russian guarantees that they won't let Iran take it over. Wait a minute. Didn't Russia go there to guarantee that Assad wouldn't use chemical weapons anymore? Yeah. Okay, so we want a guarantee now from those jackasses that Iran's not going to – all the hard work we did there is not going to go to Iran. We're going to ask them to guarantee that. Come on. What are we, just dumber than dumb? So anyway, we're going to go anyway, and we're sitting there. So my own opinion is they probably did, right, everything to prepare him to and scripted the answer. But as you and I have spoken, when he goes off the script, he embarrasses himself.
Yeah.
And yesterday was one of the worst. It's right up there with George Bush's "I looked into his soul" and "I looked into his eyes and he's a man I can trust." It's like, did I just hear that right? But given everything that surrounds the president, it was stunning to watch it. Him thinking that he could, that somehow or other he's going to dance, and then he says. I don't see why the Russians would do it. And you're like, oh, no. And then he says, in fact, President Putin's made this great offer that we can send our evidence to his guys and they'll look at it, right, for means. How did the Americans get this shit, right? And then they'll go ahead and find out every way that we got in there, and then they'll say, yeah, we don't find it valid, and then they'll reject it because they're not going to send us their GRU officers, I don't think. So you're like, are you shitting me? Stop, please, stop, stop, stop. And he's one of those guys who thinks that if he keeps talking, he can make it better. So not a good day for the
president. Yeah, he's one of those guys that is, yeah. And that's what, it scares me when he just starts and going, and you know he's going to go off script. And you know the reporters are getting really good at distracting him and getting him off script.
Well, shit, Mike, you don't even have to distract him so much. I mean, he went off script. And you know the people that prepped him told him, do not go off script. Here's a 5x7 card. These are the 3 points, right? I believe Dan Coats. I have to take President Putin at his word.
Where does that? He steps into that.
I know, but
he
then
thinks that he's the smartest guy in the room.
Shit, and he's dumber than a bag of hammers. But Mr. President, so you accept both of them, okay? The reason I'm here is because the world needs the United States and Russia to get along. I will continue, right, to pursue the truth relative to that issue, but I cannot allow it to stand, be the issue that stands in the way of an American and a Russian relationship when there's so many things that we need to deal with around the world. Okay, I can't have that. We almost went to war once. And so that good outweighs this. And here's the other thing. Here's what we know, right? We interfere with their internal affairs. We know that. We have espionage operations, right? Everybody knows that. Putin knows it. Trump knows that Putin knows it. And Putin knows that Trump knows that Putin knows. So, like, who are we kidding here? That we don't do that? We don't conduct cyber operations inside Russia? Right. We don't do that. Come on. And we act all indignant, right? We act all indignant that you had the unmitigated gall to interfere in our democracy, right?
Right.
United States toppling governments all over the world. But we're indignant when somebody messes with ours, and so you're supposed to go there and what? Publicly, you know, get your can of spray paint out and spray paint a line on the floor and say, if you ever cross that line again, you're going to pay, son. You got me, Vlad? So, but it does not excuse him just shitting.
No, and, you know, it's just frustrating because, I mean, you could have went to that meeting, closed door session, just look at him and go, hey, Vlad, let's check this out, man. You need me. I need you. Let's work this thing out. We'll say whatever they want to hear, and let's rule the world together. You take this half, I'll take that half. We'll come at each other every once in a while just to, like, make it sure. But, you know, just stop the nonsense. We keep, you know, if we keep beating our chest in this kind of capacity, the only thing that's going to happen is we're going to have a bruised chest. They don't care. We don't intimidate them. They don't intimidate us. So, I mean, like, what are we trying to do?
Well, you know, to me, Mike, what's interesting is that hold on, let me read you an email. It's entitled Helsinki. The president's faux pas cannot be laid off on our obnoxious news entertainment, and it surely can't be laid off on his advisors. The upshot of it, He looked to the world like his balls are in Putin's pocket. True or not, the appearance does our country no good. You know what? I would agree with you. He looked weak. He did not look like the president of the strongest nation on the planet. Another email. Cop. If I was a member of the Las Vegas community, I would demand that that cop be fired. How many people, kids, were walking on sidewalks, other traffic? Totally reckless. Mike, you're a cop. You're a cop guy. Reckless.
What about?
Reckless for a police officer to be firing while he's driving through his windshield?
Depends. Okay, so was the person he was pursuing a menace to society and a possible threat to other lives?
Let's just say yes.
Then he's got to look at the situation. You know, what kind of backup does he have? Does he have a helicopter? Does he have other people? I mean, I get the whole. Okay, back in the day, they used to go after people that would run a stop sign. They would deploy every cop in the world on that police chase for a guy committing the crime of running to a stop sign. And just because he didn't want to stop, now, you know, everybody in the world wants him to chase. They finally toned that back and looked at a lot of things as far as where is it at. If it's in a rural area, shit, chase him all you want. What was the offense for? You know, Class C misdemeanor? Really? You know, so you got to look at all of those options. You know, what was his crime, or what was his potential crime? What was he expected of? Where was he at? You know, what was the time of day? I mean, there's a lot of factors. And so then it always comes down to, you know, if the police officer at that time, in this case, was it, you said it was the sheriff?
No. It was a police
officer.
So it
was a sheriff deputy.
Yeah, in Las Vegas.
So then, you know, it ultimately, the patrolman or the guy that starts the pursuit, there, someone higher than him is going to make that call, either to continue this pursuit or to, you know, disengage. So it could have been, you know, just a myriad of things of people just breaking down and people not understanding what was going on and information not getting to them, timely, accurate information. So the person making the call couldn't make an accurate assessment. So, but the bottom line is I don't like to second guess him. What he did, he thought was right for the moment. So, you know, good on him.
We'll see what Las Vegas has to say. I'm sure that won't be the only time they're hearing that. Here's another email. Good morning, Mac. I kayak all over rural areas, etc. I do like to still pack my 40 on me. Does Gunner know of any good waterproof bags or holster type of carrying case that someone could access the weapon fairly quickly? Be well. Dave in Onion Land.
He said, what is he carrying, a 40?
Yep.
A 40 Smith & Wesson or what?
Doesn't say.
Okay. So I don't know. I mean, if he's carrying a Glock 40, you know, a Glock 22 or something, I don't know what kind of 40 he's carrying. But your pistol's waterproof or water resistant. Just don't worry about carrying a bag. Just clean it when you're done.
I like
Same
it.
Same ammunition.
I like it.
I
so
mean,
have it near you, and when you're done, go ahead and clean it.
Yeah, the only thing that should be in your waterproof bag really is your wallet and your cell phone. Those things aren't waterproof or water resistant unless you have one that is. But no, if you put it in a waterproof bag, then you got to go through the trouble of opening a waterproof bag. Just keep it in a Kydex. Plastic, you know, the polymer type holster, and kayak, have fun. You know, put it somewhere where it's readily accessible. If you're not, you know, you feel like you're going to be in threat. The last thing you want to do is put it in a bag. And then when you really need it, you know, now you got to go through this bag. You got to go through the process of opening this bag. But guns are water resistant. Now, most guns will shoot. You can dip them in water, pull them back up, and shoot them. The water will run out of the barrel by the time you get ready to pull the trigger. And you'll shoot. You'll be fine.
No fuss, no muss. It works.
Yeah. Oh, they got, there's a video out. You want to see a funny video. They converted these Glock, I think they're Glock 19s or Glock 17. And they, down in Florida, 9mm Glocks, and then they go diving with them and they shoot lionfish.
What? Lion?
Underwater with the Glock.
Lionfish?
Yeah,
what's a lionfish?
It's an invasive species, non-invasive species that's taking over the reefs and killing all the indigenous animals down there.
Yeah.
So the lionfish is that poisonous fish with all the barbs on it. You know, it's really, it's kind of neat looking. They're aquarium type fish, but they populate like rats. They're like rabbits. But they, if you look at the video, you go to the video and it's called Glock, hunting lionfish with Glock or something like that. But, and these guys actually are scuba divers, loaded 9mm Glocks. They got a little bit of a, it looks like a suppressor, but it's a muzzle brake design that they can use to cycle the gun because the gun won't cycle underwater. When you pull the trigger, it won't, it'll shoot underwater, but, you got to manually suck it, but they actually fixed it with these muzzle brakes that'll make the gun cycle underwater. But they go up on these lionfish and just shoot with 9mm underwater. It's hilarious.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things that I learned a lot about when I was doing my radio show in North Dakota and Minnesota was Minnesota's DNR. They call it. It's North Dakota Department of Fish and Game, Minnesota's Department of Natural Resources. Those are pretty powerful and robust organizations. Minnesota takes the maintenance of its lakes really seriously because it's a huge natural resource, and both summer and winter they get fished. And you know, talking to them, so I used to interview these guys. But you just use the term invasive species. Those are a huge deal because they can destroy marine life. You know, whether it be, you know, Minnesota famous for its walleye, whether it's the walleye population or what, by somebody simply dumping their, you know, aquarium into a lake, and they breed like crazy. And you ask, well, how does this happen? Like, oh, somebody's, you know, somebody's trying to build the population of, you know. And I heard one of them, it was like sunfish. Somebody took like 2,000 sunfish out of a lake. And the explanation was crazy. Oh, no, you know. And I want to say it had something to do with Vietnamese cuisine. Like, yeah, they come out of the Twin Cities, and, you know, the limit is like 15. You know, they had 400. Like, what? And, well, how did you pull them over? They were having problems they got their car stuck. So DNR guy just stops. And then it became a lawsuit because they said he had no probable cause to search. And so it went to state Supreme Court or something like that. And there was another case of a guy going into an ice house. Because he thought guys were doing drugs in there. He walks in and they find all this cocaine. No probable cause. Mm-hmm. No probable cause. So, DNR, invasive species, that's big, big, big stuff. Especially in states that are rich in natural resources try to keep their stuff clean. And, so it's pretty interesting. Something you wouldn't think like, oh yeah, not very interesting. Oh, it is. It is. Nature and the preservation of nature, pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. And then the other thing you see is the number of people that are commercially trying to benefit from just plundering Mother Nature. So kind of interesting. Since you brought it up.
But yeah, go fishing. You can go fishing underwater with the Glock.
Question. You guys were talking about bullets, holotips last week, and I saw the picture on your blog post of those rounds that you were talking about. What were those rounds? Full duty, heavy duty, something like that?
Critical.
There you
critical
go.
Critical duty?
Critical duty. That's what they were called.
It's critical. I always say critical duty, but and then it's something else.
All right. Well, we know what we're talking about.
They're the critical defense.
Critical.
Sorry. Yeah, I say that.
The
Hornady critical defense.
So he asks us, what kind of rounds do most police officers use? I would think they would use holotip.
Spear gold dot.
Spear gold dot. Is that a holotip round?
Yeah.
Okay, so a holotip round hits a windshield. What happens with that? It functions, right?
Spear gold dot will penetrate. Yeah, it'll go through it. It'll do a pretty good job.
But it's going to flatten out, yes, after it hits the windshield. Windshield has more...
absolutely. But it's still going to have enough energy to go through it. Yeah.
And then it's going to go...
If it goes through, so when it hits the windshield,
right.
It flattens out. It expands pretty fast. And it's still going through the windshield at that same that diameter. It hits you, it's going to kill you. And that's the cool thing to think about when you're shooting. That's why you want rounds that perform the same thing every time. But so a car door, 17 gauge steel, plywood, sheetrock, they're going to expand, but they're still going to hit you.
So what's flying through the air, though, is that flattened out piece, chunk of metal is now going to hit you as opposed to the...
And some glass.
The pristine round is then going to hit you and then flatten out. So you're going to hit by a kind of a slug-looking thing, more or less.
Yeah.
And some glass. The not going to be good. Not going to be good. It'll be interesting to see what happens relative to that because the video is pretty crazy. Video pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Here's another email.
Hey, there's a rifle case I was about to show you. I'm going to have to show you this rifle case. It's a really cool, it's an actual rifle case, but it's shaped exactly like a guitar case.
What? It's made by Italians? What are we, the mafia now?
No, it's called it's a discreet rifle case. It says allows users the freedom of transporting the rifle under the radar without takedown. It looks just like a freaking guitar case, shape of a guitar.
I think that's a good idea because if you have a rifle and the last thing you want to do is roll through the lobby with a rifle and then have everybody look going. Oh.
Or a rifle case because everybody knows what it looks like.
Right.
I used to have a clarinet case. For my rifle.
did you make it or did somebody was it made?
No, I had someone else made it, but it looked exactly like a clarinet case. Wasn't really because it was a takedown type of rifle, so you take the pins down and fold it up and put it in there, and it looked just like a musical instrument. So I used to walk around with that, and people never were the wiser, man.
Nice.
Ever.
Nice. Nice. What kind of weapon could you fit inside of a clarinet case? That'd be something relatively short barreled.
Yeah, my AR.
There you have it. The AR. Collapsible stock.
Yep.
Quality weapon.
Short barrel.
Quality weapon.
It's called the Battle Axe Discreet. This thing's cool as hell, man.
The Battle Axe Discreet?
The Hazard 4 Battle Axe Rifle Case. That is pretty badass. Yeah, that is pretty badass. That is one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time.
Here's a question for you.
There's a...
Email question. Mac, what do you think it is about the president's character that doesn't allow him to accept the criticism of certainly people that care about him and his administration when they tell him that he is not good at going off script.
All right.
What do you think it is, Mike?
It's called the egotistical behavior. I mean, it's what most businessmen, you know, have. And that's good. You want businessmen like that to be very domineering, very
confident.
You know, take charges, yeah, confident. But what you really don't want is the leader of the free world thinking that when you walk in to think that I'm the smartest guy in the room. No, you don't. That's good in business. But you got to show a little compassion and respect, you know, for other people.
And especially when you're in a room with Vladimir Putin, because he's nominally at least your equal, okay?
Right.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful most of the time. Be really careful with him, okay? Because he understands how to play the game. He's really good at it, as a matter of fact. So I don't want to say that that's a stupid question, okay? Because we all know there is stupid questions. But if you've seen his behavior, his arrogant behavior, then I don't think you should be surprised at what he did. I think his staff certainly, this is just the latest in probably a long line of frustrations where he begins to run his mouth, and then he says things that they probably wish he wouldn't have said, and then they've got to go behind it and police it up. I'm not sure, though, how you police this one up. You know? He had a chance because, right. Look, this is, you know, this thing ties the Mueller thing and with Putin standing there, the whole thing. This was his chance to stand up and say, I believe this. And the reason we're here is this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that he had a chance to do that. And they had a long time to put that answer together. And if they put it together and he screwed it up, which I would bet $1 million that was the case, then that's on him. That's on his ineptitude as a guy, as a leader, and he sucks at that. So limit that in the future. He sucks at that.
Right.
So, and again, so is it a stupid question? If you've seen him in the past, you knew he was fully capable of it. Mike and I even talked about it. I talked about cringing before the press conference even started, that this is not the press conference, you need to step in it. And Mike said, yeah, I didn't watch it. Because he's fully capable of. But I would say this, in terms of what actually happens on the ground, I believe that that talking to North Korea was the right thing to do, and pursuing the denuclearization of that peninsula with the Secretary of State and others involved, I think that's the right thing to do. Relative to China, I think Secretary Mattis recently going there, putting them on notice, nothing's going to change in the South China Sea just because you laid dibs on it, okay? So you might want to stop this stuff, or else we're headed to Knuckle Junction. So just so you know that. So, you know, for the first time, the United States stood up on its hind legs and didn't just roll over for China. Whoa. You know, the United States has pushed back on Russia harder than President Obama and President Bush combined. Oh, shit. The worst thing the United States does is when the president gets out there and talks. In terms of the actions of the administration, I think all pretty solid. In terms of the actions of the president and the things he says, nightmarish. So,
right.
If you're going to take solace in our actions, not his words, but God Almighty. So, anyway. All right, what do you got going today? Luke wants to know if we can go to the airport in the afternoon of the 2nd and pick him up. How far is the airport from Jacksonville? That's a ways. I looked at it. It's like half hour?
Yeah, it's in Raleigh, right?
No, it's not in Raleigh.
The
Jacksonville airport. So
that's not far.
He can Uber then.
No, if he's going to say, if he was saying like Raleigh Durham, say good luck, man. Have someone take the shuttle, the boot shuttle.
Fly into Jacksonville at 1336 on 2 August. count, will we be available to go get him, or will we be tied up, do you think?
On 13, or on 2nd of August?
On 2 August.
No, we can go get him.
1336. All right. Very well. What do you got going today? Where are you headed? You headed to lunch?
Yeah. Having lunch with some friends.
What's Tina? Is Tina going with you?
Yeah.
So you guys doing a lot of couple stuff? You guys going like speed walking in the same kind of suits and shit like that? You guys now that you're both like retired?
No.
You're not?
No.
You guys hold
the Adidas.
Yeah.
Sweatpants.
Yeah, velour. You guys power walking, use wildly swinging your arms with your hairy fingers flying all over the place?
Right.
Yeah, so that's a no? You're not doing that?
No.
Okay.
It's been hot out, man.
Yeah, I saw it was 89 degrees at like 9 o'clock this morning. I was like, whoa, Gunner.
Yeah, we're gonna bust 100 again today. I think we're gonna be 100 all the way up until like the 25th of August.
All right, turn that shit down before I get there, okay?
So yeah, it's crazy, man.
All right. So,
it's moderation, man. You don't.
Got to be careful. So where are you going to lunch?
Oh, we're going to Christina's.
Does your wife get to go to the Petroleum Club, or is that a men's only event?
No, that's only. Well, you got to be a member.
I'm a member of the Petroleum Club.
Yeah.
All right, one of my favorite places in Granbury, Tennessee.
Well, it's actually Texas, not Tennessee.
I know. Just seeing if you would catch it.
When you get in, you'll get in about 2-something. We'll get out of the airport. You just got your carry-on. You're not having any check luggage, right?
No, there'll be like the mixer and all that stuff. I can't carry it in a carry-on, so yeah, there'll be a mixer. So you might have to show up a few minutes after that, and then I'll meet you out on the curb after I get my check.
Well, no, I'll wait for you. I'll be out there. I can park at the thing for free because I got a DV plate, man.
I thought you were going to say at the cell lot. A lot of airports have those cell lots that you can pull into and.
No, I mean, you'll see. Have you never flown in DFW?
No, I have, from Afghanistan. I don't think I went out to the curb. I don't think I went out to the curb, though.
Oh, yeah. It's a big place, man. I mean, it's got a freeway that runs right through the middle of the airport.
That's a big airport, so, man. That must be a big airport.
It's a big airport, dude.
All right, well, look.
So, yeah, well, like I said, when we come back, you'll get the tour, and then we'll... Depending on what time we get back in, we'll probably stop over at Buck's so you can see the boot shop.
Got to see that.
And then we'll do something, you know, either just we'll go to the square that night, go do something, and then meet Ron. And well, you won't meet Ron because Ron will be in Dallas.
He'll be where?
But in Dallas.
Oh, why is he going to be in Dallas? How do you know he's going to be in Dallas?
Well, because that's where he works. He's a lawyer in Dallas until he'll actually end of this year when he gets sworn in to be the judge.
Got it. All right. Well, look, you guys have a nice lunch, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.
Okay.
All right.
I'll talk to you.
There you have it. Michael, the Prince, Michael Musselman. Prince Michael the First. There you have it. Prince Michael the First. That'll do it. the president's going to meet with GOP lawmakers due to the growing outrage over comments he made during his press conference. What? What do you mean? What did I say? All right. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. Painful. Painful. Yeah, so, again, things I know John Kelly's not stupid, right? And I don't know how that stuff gets handled, okay? So, who's involved in prepping him for the press conference? Is that the media people? Is that his political people? Is it a combination? There's no way I don't believe that they had that answer dialed in for him. And so to me, the fact that he didn't just crush it is mind-blowing. And it gets laid, in any way, shape, or form, it gets laid at his feet. If he wasn't prepared, that's his fault. And that's stupid. And that's why I don't believe it. But certainly painful to watch a president. Painful to watch a president. Thank God, though, his policies tend to move in the right direction. But brutal. Yesterday was brutal. Anyway, have a great day. If you're just tuning in, don't touch that dial. Interesting program. Tom Drowdy joined us in the second hour. And Tom, former public affairs officer of the United States Marine Corps, the PAO of the Marine Corps, as a matter of fact, I asked him, how would you answer that question? Knowing all the ins and outs, how do you answer that? And then in the first hour, we talked about how do you screw that one up? Actually, not how do you screw it up. How do you fuck that one up? This is the press conference of the year, folks. Okay? We have to smoke this. And you just piss it right down your leg. How does that happen? This is going to be a moment of triumph for us, okay? This is going to be, I'm going to step on the world stage. And I can even characterize our discussions. You and I, President Putin and I have had very, very specific discussions about the meddling in the internal affairs of our nations. And I think we're very clear where we stand on that. But again, we meddle in their internal affairs. Do you not believe that? So, like, what do people want the president to say there? So, to me, you have to accept him at his word, unless you're going to stand there and call him a liar. So again, the Russians have been meddling in our elections since at least John Kennedy's, probably before that. Eisenhower's election? Truman got elected. They probably, I'm not sure how effective they could have been then. Probably not very much. But now that they have social media, now we can release the genie and they can do all they can do. The internet, ugh. The demise. Here's the real question, though. The post-World War II order, based on the United Nations, the World Bank, and all the institutions, is under assault. The United States wants to modify them. Okay? The United States wants a more equitable arrangement, with the United States not underwriting everybody's defense and everybody's economy. Okay? That's from D. Trump. And again, with appropriately footnoted, no less, for the nuances of every different relationship with every different country, I think that bears merit. We're almost 100 years outside of World War II. Maybe we should reevaluate some of that stuff. China wants to see that go away. I don't think it's in the world's interest that goes away. So be careful how you mess with it. Be responsible how you mess with it. And then what would the Russians like to see? I don't know. I don't know if the Russians want to see it go away. Interesting. All right. Have a great day. We'll talk about all that. But honestly, relative to yesterday, how do you fuck that one up? Stunning. The ineptitude of a president on full display for the world. He had a chance to stand up in public and say, I absolutely believe my intelligence agent services. Absolutely. Okay? let me give you some historical background. The Russians have meddled in every election. I know that. We are not without sin either. Do you want to go down that road as a president, or do you want to just skip that? And let Mr. Putin rebut what you said with his own set of facts. You went to war in Iraq on a false premise. No, we didn't. Well, there's no WMD. You haven't found it. You even invaded Syria. You still haven't found it. So what does that mean? It means your intelligence sucked. And now you're gonna give me your intelligence and say that you're sure about it this time? I don't believe you. You want to do that in public? Yeah, I don't know that you. I don't know that you do. I don't know that you do. So how do you answer that? That should have been nailed down and smoked. And you know what? I would venture to say that it was. That it was. And Donald Trump, again, as Mike said, when you think you're the smartest guy in the room and you think as long as your lips are moving that everybody's spellbound and nobody's going to put two and two together, then you get a performance like you saw yesterday, which was at its worst, okay, at its worst, and a president that is inept in public in that forum attempting to try to dance with an issue that you can't dance with. You have to be blunt about. And I think what you got was predictable in its awful nature. So with that said, on a Tuesday, All Marine Radio over and out. Don't touch that dial.